Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Who is Dr. Richard J. Mao, the author of Talking with Mormons, An Invitation to Evangelicals? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. Back on November 14, 2004, probably very few people in the Salt Lake Valley knew who Richard J. Mao even was, but it was an event that was held in Salt Lake City at the Tabernacle, and on that evening, Dr. Ravi Zacharias was asked to come and speak to a packed-out crowd. Now, I was there. I actually heard what Ravi Zacharias had to say that evening.
Well, as an eyewitness, you had a chance. You were living here in Utah at that time. You heard that announcement, and it was a few months before, I know, when it was announced that he was going to speak. What do you feel the general anticipation level was of the Christians in the Valley?
Well, I think for the most part, Ravi Zacharias is an incredible speaker. He's a very deep thinker. And if you've ever read any of his books, they are just rich with wisdom and knowledge. The guy is really incredible. So to have somebody like Ravi Zacharias come to Salt Lake City for many of us was pretty exciting. However, I would say that probably a lot of us, myself included, had some very cautious optimism about it. For one, speaking in the Tabernacle. Now, I know this is the first time that an evangelical has spoken in the Tabernacle in years, like 100 years or something like that. That's neither here nor there. It is a rarity, no doubt. But some of us were wondering, well, what was he actually going to say? How was he going to say it? And some people felt that maybe his message would be watered down because of the place where he was actually going to speak. Now, he had three speaking engagements when he came out. He spoke up at the University of Utah the night before, then he spoke at the Tabernacle, and then he spoke at Weber State up in Ogden. I happened to catch all three of those talks. All of them were excellent. The Q&A were especially interesting at the other two events. But he spoke on a number of important topics, and I think that for the most part, most of the Mormons that were there probably missed exactly what he had to say, because he talked about, for instance, the evilness of humanity, which of course you know in Mormonism, they believe that man's basically good. He's able to accomplish all these things. Sometimes I might think that Mormonism is like Pelagianism on steroids. But he spoke of religions in the world that erroneously teach how people can be saved by pulling up their own bootstraps. He actually used that phrase, which I found to be interesting because that's the same exact expression that Spencer Kimball talks about on page 28 of the teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, where he talks about man has having to transform himself. Man has himself the seeds of godhood, which can germinate and grow and develop. And he has within his power to lift himself up by his very bootstraps. So Ravi, in a very clever way, was able to show that idea to be false. He also talked about the idea of being with humans throughout eternity. He told this interesting story how he was approached by a man who wanted to be Ravi's roommate throughout eternity. And he was very gracious in how he responded to them, but why in the world would you want a human companion when heaven would be graced with the presence of God himself, with the presence of Christ? And of course, Mormonism, that's the big goal, is to be with your spouse. So he was talking about Mormonism without mentioning the M word. I never expected Ravi to come to the Tabernacle and do bullet points like I would probably do in a presentation showing problems in Mormon theology that we as evangelicals will have.
There's a risk factor in having an apologist whose name is on the latest edition of Kingdom of the Cults, Walter Martin's old book. And so the question I think a lot of people had at that time, and perhaps would even have today listening to this broadcast, is why would the Mormons allow somebody of that kind of caliber to address their people as well as the Christians who came into the Tabernacle that day? That seems like a pretty high risk.
Yeah, you would think so. I'm of the opinion, however, that the Mormon Church rarely does anything, if ever, unless they have control of the situation somehow? And that's a very good question. I think maybe the Mormon Church, at this time it was under the leadership of Gordon Hinckley, and of course Hinckley was trying very hard to win the favor of evangelicals, and it could have been for that, to allow them to use this facility to bring in an evangelical. Now, I was under the impression that Ravi was given free rein to speak on anything he wanted. For all these years, that's what I've thought.
Well, why do you think that wasn't the case then?
Well, I didn't know until I read Richard Mao's book, and we might mention Richard Mao is the president of Fuller Seminary. He's going to be stepping down from what we understand. But Richard Mao was invited to speak just prior to before Ravi Zacharias took the pulpit. And in his book called Talking with Mormons, which we are going to spend several broadcasts discussing, and I hope you can listen to each one of those broadcasts. I'm going to have my pastor, Brian Hurlbut, come in, and we're going to discuss this book and some of the major aspects of the book. And I think you're going to learn a lot. When Dr. Mao wrote the book, I should say, he made the statement, and I was kind of surprised to read it, that Ravi was actually told that he was not supposed to engage in any anti-Mormon polemics in his presentation. Now, if that's true, I was not aware of that until I actually read the book. But this is what he says on page 2. Actually, it was Dr. Mao who, for me, ruined the evening. And I think he ruined the evening for a lot of Christians that were in attendance. And I would assume that probably most of the people that were in the tabernacle that night were Christians. You could tell by the dress wear. Christians up here have a tendency to dress much more casually than Mormons, and there weren't a lot of suits in the building that night.
Well, what was it that he said that caused so many people to not be happy?
Well, he actually got up before Ravi spoke, and he proceeded to make an apology on how evangelicals have treated Mormons and actually accused evangelicals of bearing false witness against Mormons and against Mormon theology, misrepresenting Mormon theology. For me, I would have felt much better had Dr. Mao not painted such a broad brush against all of evangelicals, because that didn't just affect ministries such as ours, a parachurch ministry that deals specifically with this subject, but that affected even the pastors in this valley who have taken a stand and said, wait a minute, Mormonism is not Christianity. And that's exactly how Mormons took this apology. At that point, in my personal opinion, I think most of the Mormons shut off. Most of the Mormons shut off. They had heard what they wanted to hear, and that's all that was probably resonating with them for the rest of the evening. See, you have an evangelical who has admitted that you've been lying.
How was it presented the next day in the newspapers and the media reports?
Well, exactly as I feared. Most of the attention was given to Dr. Mao and his statement rather than what Ravi Zacharias actually taught, and I think that was unfortunate. Dr. Mao's comments really stole the evening away from Dr. Zacharias. And sadly, I don't think a lot of Mormons that were in attendance that night probably were really focusing on what Ravi Zacharias actually said. I remember specifically leaving the tabernacle, and an elderly lady who was LDS, because they were kind of like the ushers and usherettes that night, actually looking at me saying, wasn't that great? And I wanted so badly to say, did you not hear what Ravi Zacharias said? What are you talking about? It was so great. You mean Dr. Mao's apology? Or was it what Ravi actually said? She wasn't specific, but it made me wonder if she was talking about Ravi, she wasn't listening very well.
On page 2 of his book, he admits that he did talk about the apology that you're talking about. And he says, my only regret was that in the aftermath, my own introductory remarks lasting a mere 7 minutes came to dominate the news reports, drawing some angry criticisms of the whole evening from some evangelical quarters. My question to you is, do you think he didn't expect to have his remarks overshadow whatever Ravi was going to say? Do you think he was coming in innocently thinking, oh, I'm just going to say a few things, but I'm sure that everybody's going to like what Ravi says and won't even talk about mine? Because what he said obviously was meant for me, and what I read, I wasn't there, but I read the whole statement. It was meant, it seems, to steal the thunder.
I would tend to think you're right. It's difficult for me to think that a man like Dr. Mao, a man of his caliber, would not know how that kind of a statement would resonate in this community. So for him to act as if he was shocked, to me, is a little disingenuous. That's my personal opinion on this. But I can tell you this, Dr. Mao's comments that night have still been something that is often brought up by Latter-day Saints to this very day in conversations that I have had. And the great majority of the time, whenever it's brought up by Mormons, it's brought up in the context of, well, we already know you guys are always lying because you had one of your own guys say that. And I say, well, who was the guy? They don't even know his name. They just remember what he said. And unfortunately, this has been a negative factor and has certainly not helped ministry in the Valley, at least from my perspective. I haven't seen it help.
It's only speculation, but I'm wondering if possibly the church knew that that was going to happen, and that was the risk factor that allowed them to bring in Ravi, because they got something out of this by allowing a guy like Mao to be able to make this apology that made them look innocent and good, and took away from an evening that could have been so much more powerful.
It could be, because Dr. Mao is known as the apologizer. He apologizes to everybody for the actions of Christians. So it could have been, he could have even played his hand to the leaders in the Mormon church that he might be doing something like that. I don't know.
It's only speculation.
I just think that it was inappropriate, and I think it was even shameful that he would make such a broad application to evangelical Christians, because that's not really the case. We don't purposely go out bearing false witness against Mormonism or against Mormon individuals. So in essence, what Dr. Mao did was bear false witness against his own brethren. He had to slander the brethren in order to pander to the LDS Church, and that was unfortunate. But I think his book is something that we as evangelicals need to look at. I don't think you're going to get a lot of deep Mormonism out of his book. And as you're going to see as we discuss it, I think a lot of times Dr. Mao actually shows an outright ignorance of Mormon doctrine and history. And sometimes even his own personal theology comes out with a big question mark. But we're going to be looking at this, and I strongly encourage you as listeners to catch this series as we look at the book by Richard Mao, Talking with Mormons, An Invitation to Evangelicals.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.